Hello, everybody. It is Tuesday, Thanksgiving week, and Steve and I are back. It's week 12 of the NFL, laying the points with Farley Betts, our weekly ATS NFL podcast. Also, our weekly live broadcast here on Twitter. Thank you to everybody who might be joining us right now and is listening. You can send in questions. I'm pretty sure we can see your questions here on the side. I'll be looking for that. Let us know if you have any questions as we go over all these games. Going to go through the use, Steve. So please follow Steve and I at the Odds Breakers. We put out articles there all the time. The Odds Breakers should be your one-stop shop for all betting information. We got all sports, all angles, talk fantasy, you name it. At Sports Wager U, check them out on Twitter, guys. Classes on sports betting to teach you how to bet like a pro. Love being a part of that, and that's only growing. So check that out. And at BetUSTV, you can check me out four times a week talking NBA. Still riding at 57% in the NBA, so that's good because I don't know if I can keep that up. The NBA is crazy. But it's not as crazy as the NFL, Steve.
Wild.
Dude, I mean, I'm hearing it from across the board too, man. Like, everybody's having a pretty rough stretch right now. It is – there's some crazy shit happening. Like, the Cowboys' offense didn't even show up. I don't know what happened there. I don't know. You name it, man. I mean, I thought the Vikings were going to be a great pick for us, and we probably should have been a circa pick for us, and they showed up. That was probably the game of the week between them and the Packers. Good finish by them and Kirk. The Seahawks, man. I mean, how many times are the Cardinals going to show us how complete of a team they are beating Seattle at home? That was crazy. I mean, we'll talk about all these things, but Steve, give us an update, even if it hurts. I know it's going to hurt for me. How was your week?
And that hurt. Yeah, it does hurt. I mean, we're on week three of the skid. I told you before the podcast started that I had to shave. I had to switch it up. I have to do something different. The one thing is, I'm getting in on these early lines, and then the lines are moving in my favor. And you're feeling good, but it seems to be the trend this year so far that when we're getting in on these early lines and they're moving in the right direction for you, and we're still, like, for example, a Seattle game, not getting in a plus 2.5 at one point, and then they moved to 3 once we heard that Murray was out. And that, again, that Cardinals team's showing up right now. Last week, we had a record of 3-8. One of my this is actually officially my worst week this so far, bringing my total record to 90-68. Still plus 24.99, so almost 25 units overall in the year. We were at a 40 clip though at one point, so. Last 3 weeks have been rough, and we're going to see this week, especially though. I tweeted about it. The highest spread is at 7 right now for any of the games. I mean, this is going to be a very tight and a very close week. So good luck with your survivors.
I know it's a very spooky week in Survivor. We had somebody in my league reach out to everybody and be like, "Hey, you guys just want to split the money?" And I'm like, hell no, I don't want to spend the money. That just means that they don't think they're going to win this week. So
already,
yeah, you gotta go for it all. But same thing on my end, man. I was either 4-6 or 6-8. Apologies for not having the official record here. I was hustling before this show, but wasn't good. Two more losses than wins for me. A few units down. I did hit a nice parlay that really saved my weekend from being really horrendous. The NBA is really saving me right now, man. But, you know, across the spectrum, dude, I'm just hearing from everybody, this is a tough year. It's more volatile than ever. I mean, the leader in Circa has 39 wins. So out of 55 picks, 39 wins, they lost a good 14 or 15 times too. So it's not like anyone's just, you know, flaming right through this thing and killing it. I mean, it seems almost impossible this year, man. So we are still on the third. I just checked it before the show, Steve. We're on the third page of Circa out of like 80 pages. So we're still there at the very top. 35 wins. We're 35-19-1. Still in a great position. Just need a few more 4-1s and 5-0s. Mm-hmm. And with that, man, let's get started. We got 15 games, 3 games on Thanksgiving. I'm going to go by Vegas Insider for these lines because some of them are changing as we speak, and I don't want to be I don't want to have the wrong information here for our people. But before I say that, because I forgot to say it, probably the most important thing, follow me and Steve on Twitter. Me on Twitter, it's at Chris R. Farley 1. Farley Betts, if you look that up, that should come up as well. I'm also on Instagram. And now I'm on TikTok. God help me, Steve, I am on TikTok, which is It's a little dangerous. Uncomfortable.
A little dangerous.
It's uncomfortable. And follow Steve on Twitter at Snorm Snorm. That's S-N-O-R-M twice. Bobo Betts. All right. But with that, let's get to these games, Steve. Oh, this one's ugly to start off the Thanksgiving slate. I could see me. I might watch the end of the Macy's Day Parade instead of this one, man. We got the Bears at the Detroit Lions. Latest spread here is at -3 on the Bears. Although a lot of more money going on the Lions right now. Total is at this Vegas Insider screen is messing with me. Total's where the hell's the total? I don't see it on the screen. Oh, 45. Okay, I won't do that again, folks. Steve, I'll just start with this one because, as usual, I don't know, something about these first games we talk about either Thursday night or now on Thanksgiving, they're not too pretty. I can only look at Chicago here, I guess. I mean, you know, Detroit played a formidable game last week. You're right, stuck in that game with the Browns. That's something to talk about, too. We'll get to that, those damn Browns. But the Bears, they were feisty against the Ravens. Justin Fields trying his best. At least they covered that game. Now they say, though, Andy Dalton is going to start for the Bears. I don't understand that move. I mean, is Justin Fields injured? Am I missing something?
Yeah, he's out. He's going to be out. He left last week's game with a rib injury, so he'll be Dalton's
a
go.
Right, that's right. Yeah, Steve is going to keep us updated on the injuries. I'm a little bit behind on that front. But I guess in that, if Jared Goff comes back, I don't know the latest information on that, but if Goff comes back, maybe I'll look to the Detroit side here, getting some money, getting some plus money. I mean, which team can you trust in this situation? And the total is right at 45, so sounds about right. I mean, I don't know if I could – feel bullish in either other direction, over or under. So probably a game I'm just staying off, Steve. I have one bet I already put down on Thanksgiving Day, and it's not on this game, but I'll get to that later. What do you got on this one?
So, I mean, reports came out this week that this would essentially be Matt Nagy's last game as head coach, and that he was going to get fired. So he's saying that the reports aren't accurate, but you have to think that has to play some sort of a mind game with the Bears. And then, you know, Andy Dalton, I feel like Andy Dalton's that type of Nick Foles type of quarterback where he gets thrown into a game. He's going to perform a lot better, not having to think, not having to prepare versus, you know, having the week to prepare, sit down. And we tend to think these guys are going to come out perform and then they just lay an egg. But my biggest narrative for this one is, and we see it more often than not, for some reason, Detroit Lions, they can get up and they can play on Thanksgiving Day. That is their Super Bowl. They're always, you know, in this position where they're never really like a winning team. But then they'll upset teams. They'll show up. They'll give it their best because it's their prime time once a year game that they always have. Jared Goff right now is – said today that he could be a game time decision, so he still might be a go. I also saw reports that the Lions thought that Tim Boyle wasn't really exactly the best, that they could go with David Blau. And we saw him, I think, Thanksgiving last year or 2 years ago. I think it might have been last year, 2 years ago, I forget. But he's actually started on Thanksgiving Day and actually kind of balled out a little bit. But I'm actually going to actually lean a little bit towards the Lions with this news of the coach and just the disarray of what Chicago is going through, and that the narrative that the Lions, they like to show up on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I like that, Steve. They still didn't get their win, right? They only got a tie. So maybe this would be the time to get a little win for the Detroit Lions. All right, let's go to the Las Vegas Raiders, who are crumbling every single week. Yeah. I mean, my goodness, got spanked by the Bengals last week. Going to Dallas to face the Cowboys. Cowboys are 7-point favorites, but it's up to 7.5 and 8 in many books now. Totals at 50.5. What do you got here, Steve?
Yeah, you know, and that's the biggest thing I'm looking on this one is that the betting percentage for this one, and it keeps climbing. I saw it at 6.5, and now we're looking at 7.5 to 8. So the betting percentage is moving in the right direction for the line to be moving. Cowboys, as we saw, they're that type of team, I think, that once they have their down week, then they bounce back and have their up week again. You know, we saw it after how they performed after the Broncos game, and I think we're going to see it again now, especially they're going to be at home. They're another team that always gets the Thanksgiving game and always likes to show out in primetime aspects as well. Raiders, you know, Raiders are a team that is capable, but they've been more sliding on the back end of what we've seen. And I just don't see the Cowboys going down like they did last week. The biggest thing is CeeDee Lamb could be out with his concussion. Amari Cooper is going to be out again due to COVID. So those are two big players to watch that the Cowboys could be a little thin at wide receiver. So if you're going to play this, the FanDuel, look for Wilson at wide receiver there as well, at low in price right there, high volume, I think is coming his way. So I'm gonna lean Cowboys just because of the betting percentage, but I really want to see if Lamb's coming back or not, because that could be a big factor for them.
Yeah, it's a big factor for them. I could see the Cowboys getting back to basics here, Steve. I mean, Dak Prescott throwing two interceptions last week, no touchdowns, just out of rhythm, it looked like. There's an intimidation factor being in Kansas City too, right? The Chiefs starting to play better. Mm-hmm. The defense did their job, held the Chiefs to 19 points. You know, the defense did it. You know, that was a total. That was what, a 56 or something, 55? I mean, Cowboys defense was impressive, actually, if anything, especially in Kansas City. But that Cowboys offense was just sputtering. I don't know what they were doing. I could see them getting back to basics at home, Steve, run the ball with Zeke Moore, even if Lamb is out, you know, create situations for Dak where he can get the ball out of his hand. I love the Cowboys to respond this week. I can't trust the Raiders as far as I can throw them, man. That's an organization in disarray. Good on Derek Carr for like taking on the responsibility and saying, hey, it's on me. It's all on me. The truth is, Carr, it's not all on you. And this is just a bad organization. They need, you know, I think the, you know, the motivation is down. You know, the mentals are down, probably in the locker room and everything. I mean, they started off hot, man. And now they're 5-5, right? They're sinking. The Chiefs are rising. The Chargers are rising. So I've already put a 3-unit play on the Cowboys at -7. Glad that I avoided the 7.5 and 8. That is a premium pick for me this week that I really love. So there's a free premium pick for everybody. Hopefully I get my week started on the right foot. Go with the Cowboys to answer in a big way at home. All right. Buffalo Bills at the New Orleans Saints. This line is moving up as well, and so is the money along with it. So that makes sense. So the money's moving on, and the line's moving up, I should say. Start about four and a half up to 6 with a total of 45.5. Total opened at 48 too, so that's been dropping pretty significantly. That Buffalo defense, man, got ran all over last weekend with the Colts. Yep. Colts had what, over 250 yards rushing. I mean, rushing. Of course, Jonathan Taylor is an absolute beast, but that is that's a red flag for the Buffalo Bills at home. That's a defense that's been number one in a lot of different categories this year. So to get beaten like that, 41 points by the Colts, Wentz and that offense going up and down the field, scoring 14 points right away. Talk more about the Colts, but that's not good for the Bills. I expect the Bills to play a lot better this week. 6 is a little steep for me, man. I mean, the Saints are back at home. The Saints have been kind of stumbling around. So this feels like a good dog spot for the Saints on Thursday night to close out Thanksgiving and then get a long rest. I mean, it's a much tougher spot, you know. Essentially, these are all like Thursday night football games, right? Because it's a short week for all these teams, so it's definitely a tougher spot for Buffalo. Man, this is a tough one, Steve. I mean, I agree with the line movement. The Bills deserve some love here. They should be the much better team, but man, there's some reasons to be concerned about their inconsistency. We saw it against the Jaguars, and I don't want to overreact, but we've seen it a few times this year, Steve. And this Saints defense can play better than what they've shown. So, you know, if the Saints put it together, I don't know what the status of, I mean, I guess Simeon's going to play again.
That's what I'm seeing right now. Yeah, I haven't seen anything about anything else. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like that Mark Ingram is now questionable. He could be out. Kamara hasn't practiced yet this week. So that's not good for the Saints, but I kind of want to lean the Saints for the spot. That's all I got on this one now, Steve. How about you?
Yeah, for me, it's going to actually just be the opposite. I think the Bills are in a different class than the Saints. And, you know, they got the doors blown off from this week. But we've seen the trend of these teams always bouncing back the week after. Saints are in a spiral. I mean, they might lose another running back in Ingram. And they predicate their offense based on their running back play, especially when you have a backup like Simeon. So now the Saints are even becoming even more one-dimensional. And they don't have the receivers on the back end, I think, to capitalize on that, and especially with Simeon being your playmaker at quarterback, also losing their tight end and Trautman last week as well. So the Saints are the ones that are not getting healthier. They're losing players. Bills are actually pretty healthy right now from that respect. I think Cole Beasley was the only one that was limited. And if we look at how the Eagles played the Saints, you know, mobile quarterback, able to run it. Guess what? That's what, exactly what the Bills have. The Bills can get back to their basics. Josh Allen could be able to, is very mobile, and then hit him over the top with all the weapons they have at receiver. So I really like the Bills to bounce back here, I think, in this spot. Saints are trending in the opposite direction right now.
Yeah, that they are. All right, Steve, this is a very interesting game. A lot of people liking the Patriots in this one, and I think for good reason. The ascending Patriots at home. So these are the Sunday games now. Sunday at 1 o'clock, Tennessee going to New England after that loss against the Texans. The Patriots have moved up to 6.5-point favorites. The start opened at 2.5. Money's in that direction too, so it all makes sense. Total is at 44.5.
Yeah, I mean, it's for good reason. Look what the Patriots have been doing. Their defense has just been completely decimating teams, and their offense is moving the ball. I'm scared to bet the Patriots because I've tried to be on the other side every single time, and they keep proving me wrong. And I just know the one time that I take them, it's going to go in the opposite direction. But I don't see exactly where the Titans are going. They don't have their wide receivers. Don't make your quarterbacks, right? So we don't have Henry. We're not moving the ball as effectively. We saw what Houston was able to just completely pretty much blank them from on a defensive perspective. They weren't able to move the ball even against Houston. So this team's kind of just looks stale, where the Patriots are one of the hottest teams in the league right now at home. And you're still getting under that prime number of 7 right now. So I don't see a reason why not to just stay on this Patriots team. They only get better as the season progresses.
Total agreement for me here, Steve. I mean, I can't look any other way than the Patriots. You're going to give me a one-dimensional Titans team who's really struggling on offense. And they put up over 400 yards in that last week against the Texans. But that's just because they finally came to life in the second half and they were trying to come back. I mean, they looked abysmal for the first half of that game, just like usual. So you're giving me a one-trick pony in the Tennessee Titans without Derrick Henry going into New England. And Tannehill is a good quarterback, but they did their part in the AFC South. They took a big lead. They can afford to lose a few games, to be honest with you. And this is a team that has to be tired, you know, game in and game out. Have they had their bye week yet? I don't know if they have. And now they're going to New England and Belichick, you know, Belichick is kind of having his comeback year, Steve. I mean, last year watching Tom go all the way, people make a big deal out of that, but it had to sit, you know, it had to probably motivate, you know, Bill to really have a comeback here with his team on defense, getting a lot of players back. This is a defense that can completely dominate the Tennessee Titans in this one. Brown is still a little banged up. I think he'll probably going to be a go in this game. But I can only look the Patriots way here, man. It might be a square play, an ugly play to, you know, choose them at -6.5 and bet on them. But that's probably going to be a play for me this week because I don't see any other way I can look at it. Now, talk about ugly, Steve. The Jets. With Zach Wilson probably coming back this weekend, so that's good. Flacco played pretty well last week, but they're at Houston. Houston got that win against the Titans, their second win of the year. This line is at opened at -3. It's at now at 2.5 on Houston, and the total is at 44.5. Obviously, an extremely ugly game here. I want to take the Texans. I think there's value here because of the way that they can play defense, and Tyrod Taylor is starting to play better. He's starting to control that offense better. He doesn't make as many mistakes. They are at home. But Zach Wilson could get some juice to the Jets, I guess. I mean, he's coming in cold, though, right? Like Steve, like you said in the past, it's not like he's ready to fly and he's been playing. We just have to, you know, he's been out for quite a few weeks now. So I can only lean towards the Texans here, man. I have very few thoughts on this because we have two bad teams who are unpredictable, who don't show up every week and you don't know what to expect. I would say the most consistent unit between these two teams is the Texans defense. They usually, you know, at least put forth really good effort. So I like them to take this. If I get 2.5, probably be a teeny tiny play on the Texans for me. But that's all I can say about that. You got anything?
Yeah, we're getting under a key number at 2.5, under 3 right there. For me in this one, it comes down to your quarterback play. You know, we have, like you said, Zach Wilson is going to be coming in starting, but he hasn't played since, what was it, week 7, I believe, since he got hurt in that Patriots game. And so he's going to be coming in cold. He's a rookie quarterback still, you know, going against a veteran in Tyrod Taylor, who's very capable. Houston coming off of a nice road win, division win. And, you know, this could be kind of more deflating for the Jets going on the road now after, you know, I think Flacco is on COVID list now. Mike White is joining him on the COVID list. So the Jets are very thin at quarterback right now. Michael Carter, their starting running back, is going to miss 2 to 3 weeks as well. Houston just waived Philip Lindsay, their running back. So, yeah, like you said, this is a mess of a game. It's a mess of two teams. But at the end of the day, quarterback league, like I always say, and I do like the Texans at home to show me a little bit more.
All right, Steve, marquee game for you and I, but you already know how I feel about it. The Philadelphia Eagles at the New York Giants. These are our teams going at it. Steve's an Eagles fan. I'm a Giants fan. This opened at 3. It's now -3.5. I agree with that line movement. Totals at 46. Eagles are favored on the road.
Go ahead. Check to the better. Go ahead, buddy.
You want me to talk first?
Yeah, you go first.
I don't think you'll disagree with me, man. So a few points here. Let's start with the Eagles. When the Eagles can create plays to run the ball, that's a pretty dangerous team, man. I mean, you guys have players on defense to stop other teams. And then if you're running the ball like that, I mean, I think you ran for like 250, almost 300 yards in that game. You don't need to pass the ball. Jalen Hurst doesn't need to be a great passer of the football if you guys are running the ball like that and creating plays. So I like the look of the Eagles this past Sunday. They dominated the Saints. You know, really, they allowed them to start coming back in the second half. They just took their, you know, foot off the pedal. But it was clear who was the better team on Sunday. So there's a lot to like about the Eagles. There's a lot of hype on the Eagles right now, which is, you know, you're just starting to see them in pop culture a little bit more, which that scares me a little bit. But now let's talk about this other team entering this matchup as the New York Giants, man. You know, when the Giants are on national TV on Monday Night Football, it's kind of bittersweet for me because everybody kind of sees what I go through. You know, they go all the way down the field and make some key plays. Then the play calling is horrendous. The coaching is horrendous. Daniel Jones making horrible decisions. Saquon Barkley, people could say what they want about Saquon Barkley being a generational talent. He hasn't done much. And I know that they don't set up Saquon in the best situations, but I don't know if he has the same burst. And I feel for him because an ACL injury sucks. But the Giants are a team that need a ton of improvement in a lot of ways, man. They could not get to the quarterback last week. Obviously, Brady in that offensive line. I mean, last week, that was last night. You know, it's an exceptional offensive line there in Tampa, man. But on all sides of the ball, Steve, the Giants were lucky to score 10 points. They got that short field after the interception. And obviously Tampa Bay is one of the classy, you know, they're the class of the NFL, right? They're one of the best teams in the NFC. But the Eagles are not going to – this is not a – I already put a three-unit play on the Eagles. There's no way that I could look to the Giants. I think the Eagles, God help me, should be a circle play, Steve. I have this game lined at -6.5. I think that's where it should be with the way these two teams are playing and the way that they stack up. So I have to take the Eagles. What do you got?
Well, you know, I'm actually on the other side of this one a little bit.
Oh, really?
Because you look at the Giants, you know, they got rid of Jason Garrett. Those are the type of moves at this point in the season that could, like, give a little spark to a team, throw a little wrinkle in, for example. Like, we're going to see probably completely different play calling. Not a lot of things that we've seen on film as much probably this year from the Giants. The Eagles are the hot pick right now. We got 80% of the betting on them. You're getting over the key hook at three and a half right now, I believe, 4 in some spots. But the problem is with me, and it's always this is those division tough games that don't always go the way that we plan, right? Like, could the Eagles could very well win, and it could just be a tight field goal type of game, and then, you know, you're still out on them at 3.5, 4, you know? So I think this game is actually going to be a lot closer than we think, especially just because it's the first matchup between these two teams this year. You know, the plan for the Eagles is obviously stop Jalen Hurts, stop the run game, easier said than done. But I think the Giants, they have shown flashes with that defense to be able to. We've seen them, you know, contain Patrick Mahomes with his mobility as well. So I'm just not completely sold. I think the Eagles are the cute pick right now. I think they're the hot topic, but I could also see a little bit of regression from them this week, thinking that they're just going to walk through the NFC East.
I hear you with that one, Steve. I guess just a counterpoint here. One, Jason Garrett is gone. Thank God. But you know who the offensive coordinator is now? Freddie Kitchens.
Freddie Kitchens. And didn't Freddie Kitchens come in halfway through the season with the Browns and look good and like fool everyone? Didn't that happen? Or
he did. He did.
No, they had a guy who did very well, and then they said, "No, we'll hire Freddie Kitchens." Is what they
did. Then we'll hire Freddie Kitchens.
I'm mistaken. I mean, yeah.
Also, anything Freddie Kitchens did right for the Browns, you're talking about just as far as talent goes, just a totally different team, way more talented team than the New York Giants. So that's one thing. Two, the Giants really have struggled to stop the run this year. Do not like that against the Eagles at all. And three, the Giants are just one of these teams. I mean, look, it would be the most Giants thing in the world if we took the Eagles and circa and then the Giants won or something. That would be the most
Giants absolutely. Thing in the world.
But that being said, man, all the Giants do is they fool me into these spots where they, oh, this is a great spot. This is a good line. Da, 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 da. But the coaching, man, Joe Judge isn't fired, and some of his coaching decisions are horrendous.
What was that? At the end of the first half on Monday night.
It's so bad, man. And then, you know, Daniel Jones, people, I think people want to give him credit because he does some things. He's actually, you know, he's fast. He's clearly a good kid, but he makes way too many bonehead decisions. You know, Eli Manning didn't want to call him out on the broadcast yesterday, but when he was throwing those interceptions, he had some guys wide open. He just didn't have the vision. He just doesn't have the poise. I think the Eagles get after him, and I think it's embarrassing, man. I know it's the cute pick, but
no,
I'm happy to go with it.
I'm kind of more just, I think, you know, it just conservative with this one just because I know how these Giants-Eagles games can get, and they can get, like, very funky. And, like, you know, in the last couple of years, we've seen the Eagles getting put into 14, 10-point deficits and climb out of them late in the fourth quarters. But I think the Giants overall have been able to compete with the Eagles, and the Eagles just escape. So I think I'm also just, you know, playing on that a little bit as well. So obviously, as always, have to look a little bit more into it and see where this line moves and what the percentages look like as well.
Yeah, I can't imagine it moving more towards the Giants. But okay, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Talk about a marquee game, Steve. I'll pass this one to you first. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Indianapolis Colts, who have won 5 of their last 6 and are looking really damn good right now. The Bucs are favored, -3. Money's pretty even on this one, starting to move in the Bucs direction a little bit. Totals at 51.5.
Yeah, you know, for me on this one, I just have that feeling that this is where we're going to see Wentz have a little bit of a regression, because he's playing against Tom Brady and he's trying to really do a little bit too much, like we've seen in the past, throw left-hand passes out of his own end zone. Just try to do too much and not keep it simple, and I think that's what's going to get the Colts here in this one. We know that the Colts' offense is based on Jonathan Taylor, and you know that the Tampa Bay is able to really scheme and focus on stopping other teams' run game as well. So, you know, the one thing is, though, we've seen Tampa hasn't really been able to cover that well on the road this season, as much as they've been a lot better at home. But I really think that this is the game that we're going to see Carson Wentz kind of revert back a little bit, because the Colts have been on pretty hot. I mean, there's a few games that they were in that they lost, like the Titans and the Ravens. And if they would have won both those games, they'd be probably one of the hottest teams in the NFL right now. But I think Carson Wentz, just for me, I just have a feeling he's going to try to do too much, especially because it's Tom Brady. He's trying to fill those big shoes to show that he's the next up and coming one quarterback in this league. But I think I like Tampa Bay on this one.
I'm with you on this one, Steve. It's the sexy pick, I think, to pick the Colts at home +3. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Vita Vea should be back next week. You talk about a run stopper. That guy's like 6 feet wide. You know, the Bucs should be healthier next week now. And I totally agree with what you said, man. The Bucs are going to force the Colts. They're going to at least attempt to take away the run. You can't totally stop Jonathan Taylor, I don't think, at this point. He is one hell of a back. But they're going to limit him. It's not going to be the same result as last week. They're going to run all over the Bucs. So when the ball's in Tom Brady's hand, he might struggle at first. But the Bucs are going to have some success. Don't know if the Colts and Carson Wentz are going to be able to have the same success. I want to wait to see if some of those injuries on the Bucs defense, you know, if they get a little bit healthier. I expect them to by Sunday. because I know that a few guys were just, you know, they were game time decisions and they held them out. Good idea in that one. They didn't need him against the Giants, but they're going to need him next week against the Colts. I like the Bucs too. I think all the narratives are going to be against the Bucs in this one. They don't cover on the road. They only play well at home. But now it's Tom Brady season, if you ask me, man. It's week 12. We're deep into November. The Bucs are a very complete team still. So I like the Bucs in this one too, man. Maybe a circuit pick for us. All right, the Atlanta Falcons at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Blew. This is a pick 'em. Totals at 46.5. Atlanta Falcons, we thought, were in a pretty damn good spot last week on Thursday Night Football. +7.5 at home. They get completely dumped on. I mean, they were – for most of that game, they still could have covered. It was a close game, and then they just did not amount to anything. Cordarrelle Patterson is – I don't know if he's going to play in this game. That's a big difference maker in this one. I think that's going to kind of – that's going to be the movement for me, Steve. If Cordarrelle Patterson plays in this game, that's a significant advantage for Atlanta. He's been really good this year. They can control the ball a little bit more. But that being said, man, what an ugly game. Am I supposed to trust one of these two teams? So money is probably better well spent somewhere else unless you have a good angle on this one. But I do expect Cordarrelle Patterson to be a difference maker if he comes back. What do you got on this one?
That's exactly where I am on this one. I want to see where his injury status is. It was said that he was very close to actually playing on that Thursday night game. So you got to then expect if he didn't go on that Thursday night game and was close to playing, he should probably be okay for this game on Sunday. And I think he is the X factor for the Falcons. They're able to do a lot more with him. Calvin Ridley, they don't have an update on him yet, but he is eligible to return. So just keep an eye on that as well. So Falcons could be getting a little stronger on the offensive side of the ball. But I also want to just see where Matt Ryan is. You know, he took some big hits on that Thursday night game. I know he was he hung in there. As we talked about, the Patriots are in a different class. Jaguars, they got absolutely, you know, rolled by San Francisco last week. So I mean, no surprise there. They are the Jaguars, but they're that type of feisty team that like tries to sometimes hang into games. And essentially a pick 'em if we get Cordarrelle Patterson back, and I don't think so, but Calvin Ridley probably in the next couple of weeks, I think the Falcons will be better. But you know, again, quarterback with a veteran that is, they're very capable of winning in this spot. I lean the Falcons on the road here.
Carolina Panthers at the Miami Dolphins. Spread is at -2. The Panthers are favorite. It was started at 1, going up.
Yep.
And the totals of 42.5.
Yeah, this is another tough one here because, you know, so now we have the hype of Cam Newton is no longer there now, right? So how's the team going to respond this week? I mean, it was an impressive win by Washington to go down there with the, you know, Cam Newton coming back and everything. I'm just not so sure that – I just feel that the Panthers are a little just too one-dimensional. We saw Cam really can't throw the ball that well as we've seen in the last 3 years, and they're going to just focus on their run game. And we know that that's exactly the type that Miami is capable of stopping the run and containing a quarterback that's mobile. We saw how they played against the Ravens, shutting down Lamar Jackson. Say what you want about Lamar Jackson. He's still a better thrower than Cam Newton. So you have to think they're going to try to play and scheme in that stack the box type of system and completely get after the Panthers. So I kind of like getting the points with Miami to just go all out here.
Yeah, tricky game, man. I mean, Tua played well last week. Again, it's against the Jets defense. But 27-33 in that one. So I believe that's two straight wins for the Dolphins. You know, Carolina, man, they're a little perplexing to me because I didn't like their game plan last week. I mean, a lot of running from Cam and everything, but only 10 attempts from Christian McCaffrey. I mean, they need to work him into the – I guess they're just kind of on like a load management kind of thing with him at this point. But maybe this is the game where he breaks out a little bit and does more. That would be an advantage for the Panthers. But I've lost trust in this Panthers defense too. I mean, Washington came down there, and you called it, Steve. Ron Rivera, knowing the Panthers, the Washington football team has success down there. That was surprising to me to see them win that game. The Miami Dolphins are just – I haven't taken a deep look into that Jets and Dolphins game, one, because it's the Jets and Dolphins, and I'm not sure how impressed I should be by that win from Miami, but I guess Miami, there's value on them because they're at home and they're the dog. I just, this is a weird one, man. And Miami's defense, I will say, if we can start to trust them a little more, then they should have a field day with Cam Newton against the pass. They should be able to force the Panthers to be a running team. And at that point, there's an advantage for the Dolphins, you would think. So I lean to that side as well. All right, Pittsburgh Steelers at the Bengals. Bengals are now 4.5-point favorites. Money's pretty even, and the total's at 45. Boy, a lot of points, a lot of offense in that game for the Steelers and Chargers. Chargers put up 533 points in the Pittsburgh defense. Now, obviously, a lot of injuries in the Pittsburgh defense. That's not a good look for Pittsburgh. Cincinnati got the win against the Raiders. I think that might have been more about the Raiders than the Bengals. I mean, Joe Burrow didn't do that much, under 200 yards passing. You know, Bengals defense showed up, I guess. But this is a tough one, man, because this is an AFC North game. You know, we see the Steelers step up in these situations and make it into a real game. The Steelers don't want to become a team who loses to the Bengals on a regular basis. Already happened once. I don't think they want that to happen again. Just based off of that alone, the legacy of the Steelers, their defense, I got to wait and see what their injury situation is going to be like on defense coming into this weekend. But if we're getting 4.5, if we're getting over 4 on the Steelers and starting to go towards 6 and their defense is getting healthy, I see this as being a close game. I mean, Bengals and Steelers games have almost always been close. And I don't think the Bengals right now are as confident as they used to be earlier in the season. I have to lean towards the Pittsburgh Steelers in this one for now, Steve. What do you got?
Yeah, I mean, the Steelers were actually pretty impressive last week on defense, you know, not having key players like Watt and Fitzpatrick against a high-power offense in the Chargers. So I was actually really impressed with that. That's what they do. Steelers are a great team when you can get them when they're the dog. You know, that's what we've seen. That's what we know. We love the Steelers. We like the veteran presence of Ben Roethlisberger. This is a team, you know, it's that blue collar type of team that, you know, they got absolutely embarrassed by the Bengals earlier in the season. And now they're on the road here. And, you know, Bengals are an up and down team as well. You know, they'll turn it on 1 week, and then the next week they can look just as flat. And if we can get Watt back and Fitzpatrick back for the Steelers on defensive side, and that's what we're really got to focus on here for the injury aspects. I think I really just love having the Steelers, especially in a division game. I think it could be a low scoring type of game, a back and forth field goal type of game. And we're over that pivotal mark at 3 right now. So I think that I think I'm leaning on the Steelers as well. And that could probably be a circa.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, Steelers 19-7-1 ATS in their last 27 games as a road underdog, 7-0-1 ATS in the last 8 games after scoring more than 30 points in their previous game. I think the Steelers are just going to calm down a little bit this weekend and get back to basics. But we will see. I lost my page here. Where am I going here? Where's Vegas Insider? There it is. All right. Chargers at the Broncos, Steve. Chargers off of that big win, a lot of offense. I don't know how I feel about their defense in that one, but a ton of money on the Chargers in this one, and it ain't moving. So for me, that's a red flag. Opened at 2.5, still at 2.5. Not a lot of money on it, but a lot of spread bets on the Chargers right now. This one's in Denver, totals at 47.5.
Yeah, and that's exactly it for me. There's a lot of money on it, and the line's not moving. And for me, just looking at it, you think the line's a little short, so it's something just is smelling a little fishy for me. I'm leaning right now on the Broncos here. I believe they're coming off a bye, right? But what does that mean? Like we've talked about this season, it seems like that Patrick Surtain is trending in the right direction to be back. So the good their first round draft pick and defensive back will be back. And it's a spot for me where this line you would think would be a little bigger, and it's really close, and a lot of money is trending on the Chargers right now. And that line, like you said, isn't moving. So I'm leaning on the Broncos right now.
Yeah, Steve, it just feels like this is one of those plays, and I don't know where it's coming from, right? We talk about inherent bias, confirmation bias, maybe gut feelings that are based on a lot of information. This game has one of those feels like no one's going to want to take the Broncos, but we should take the Broncos. Even though the line's at 1-2.5. I mean, if this goes up to 3-3.5, Steve, this would be really tough to take. The Chargers have flaws. I mean, the Chargers are inconsistent. I mean, Herbert is good, but you're going up to Denver. You're going up to a rested Denver Broncos defense. You know, and like we said before, I mean, and most people know by now, I mean, the Broncos have guys. They got guys on offense. They can move the ball when they need to. And Bridgewater, as we know, is a cover machine. I'm leaning towards Denver in that one, too. Now I want to see what the money does in that one, too. All right, Minnesota Vikings after that big win. Kirk Cousins slinging it down there in Minnesota against the Packers. Going to San Francisco. Line is at -3. 49ers are favored. And the total's at 48. Steve, this is a really interesting game because we're seeing a San Francisco team who's, you know, they're kind of back in it. You know, they're slowly etching away up the NFC West a little bit more. Now they're competitive again. It feels like, it seems like, you know, Garoppolo playing with more confidence, defense playing with more confidence. But Minnesota, man, when Minnesota shows up, I mean, they are a really good team. I just don't know what to expect from this team on a week-to-week basis. I mean, Kirk Cousins looks – again, I feel like we've said this like two or three different times this year. He looks like one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL when he has a game like that. I mean, both him and Aaron Rodgers really had near perfect games there. So just really entertaining game. But kudos on the Vikings for making the stops when they needed to and making the plays on offense. This is a really tough one. I mean, I don't think the 49ers should be favored here. I think this should be closer to a pick 'em. So right now, I think the value is with the Vikings. I don't know what to – I don't feel like I have a handle on the 49ers. We're 12 weeks into the NFL, and I don't know what to expect from this team. I mean, their defense is clearly not as good as it's been in the past, but their offense is getting better, and they're starting to make plays on defense. So I don't know, Steve. Hope when you got some kind of sharp trend or angle on this one, because I'm a little – this is a little stop, and let me put some more time into it for now.
No, that's exactly it for me, actually, on this one. I mean, we're looking at two teams that are kind of similar in the way they've been this year, just up and down, inconsistent, like them in spots, and then they don't perform, and then don't like them in spots, and then they perform very well. So, you know, both teams are hot right now as well. They're covering, they're winning. I think the Vikings have gone on the road to beat the Chargers, was the Green Bay game at home, or were they on the road again?
It was at Minnesota last week.
It was in Minnesota last week?
Okay.
Yeah. So that's winning against the Packers, and now they have to go back out to the West Coast again to play another team where they performed last time. As we know, Niners haven't been that great at home, but they're starting to get it together a little bit here now. So this is one of those games that I think – if you're depending on where we're getting the Vikings at, I think you are getting good value with them. But there's San Francisco. They're that team that they were picked preseason to be a Super Bowl contender for a reason. Are they finally turning a corner here to make a late push, get a wild card spot, and then, you know, they could play upset in the playoffs? Who knows? So really gotta wait and see what's gonna happen with this one.
Yeah, wide open wild card race in the NFC too. The 49ers can do some damage if they put it all together. Mm-hmm. But we've said that before, and then they really shit the bed. So we'll see if they can keep it going this time. All right, Steve, this is probably the Colts and Bucks, and now this game are probably the biggest games of the week. Rams heading to Green Bay to face the Packers. It's going to be probably freezing temperatures in the 30s there. Totals sitting at 48, and it is currently a pick 'em.
I mean, you gotta like it right there, what you just said. You know, freezing temperatures, soft LA boys coming into town, and, you know, Packers coming off a loss, they're coming off of a bye. Anytime you're getting the Aaron Rodgers at home, you know, where you're not having to cover, just win, you do like that. Yeah, you know, Green Bay does have it. I mean, the Rams have that really good defense, but even without Aaron Jones, you know, AJ Dillon is an absolute beast. I mean, we saw that picture of him side by side with Aaron Jones. He's a monster. So I could see the Packers being able to really slow this game down with the run game, because I personally don't feel like the Rams have as solid of a run game with Henderson comparatively to what Green Bay is usually able to do, especially when they did have Aaron Jones. But I do like Dillon a lot. I'm very high on him. And at the end of the day, I think the Packers at home, this type of weather, I think that's going to give the Rams a lot of trouble.
Yeah, this is a really, really tough game. I mean, talk about competing narratives. Packers are 4-0 at home. The Rams are 4-1 on the road. Rams, the LA boys, going to the frozen tundra of Green Bay. That can't be good for them. But Rams getting spanked last time they showed up to play football against the 49ers. That doesn't feel good. They have to be ready to go. Mm-hmm. Packers in a close game last week. So I don't know if they feel like they need as much retribution this week, because it was at least a winnable game. It was a close game. But now they're heading back home after a loss. I mean, man, oh, man. Like, they're probably one of those games in Circa that I just want to stay away from. Because,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's just like it feels like a coin toss. I just feel like this is going to be an incredible game to watch. For me as a bettor, I would just advise to enjoy it, because I really do think that it could go either way. I do like that angle on the Packers at home. I mean, they're undefeated this year at home. They play really well at home. But that being said, you know, the money, this is interesting, Steve. 79% of the money is on the Packers, yet the line opened at -1.5, and it's now a pick'em. So it opened at -1.5 in Green right. Bay's favor, but it moved down. So we're talking about reverse line movement here. So that's interesting. So just a lot of competing things going on here. This is going to be one of those weeks in the NFL, guys, like where we just need to pick our spots and not overinvest, because this is really tough. A lot of small lines. And this is, you know, this is kind of the prime example of that. All right. Cleveland Browns at the Baltimore Ravens. This is the Sunday night game. Ravens squeaking by the Bears last week in that one. I'm thinking Lamar Jackson will be back, because that was just an illness that kept him out last week. Steve, what am I supposed to say about these damn Browns? I mean, I don't ever want to bet on the Browns ever again after last week. I mean, that was – you can't get a more prime spot than that to at least just run the ball, control the ball. I mean, Baker Mayfield throwing two interceptions. I think it's 15 for 29. Just awful. Like, if that doesn't show the Browns organization that they – don't have the quarterback they need, I don't know what does. But again, this is the Browns could turn around in this game and they could completely control the game again. I mean, Chubb played well, you know, keep the game on the ground. Do we know who's playing quarterback in this one? Are they going to keep Baker in there with all of his injuries, Steve?
As of right now, I haven't heard anything else other than Baker.
I haven't either.
It's kind of hard with a Tuesday, with doing this podcast on Tuesday, injury reports really aren't as prevalent as they are.
Yeah, they're shallow, yeah. But, I mean, Lamar Jackson, man, you know, coming back for the Ravens. I don't like a lot of things that I saw from the Ravens on Sunday, but it's tough when you don't have Lamar in there on offense. I guess I lean towards the Ravens in this one. I kind of like the under, you know. I mean, it's going to be chilly here in Baltimore. You know, two teams, AFC North teams, that need to start playing better on defense. And I think everyone's going to expect to see some electric plays from Lamar and a good run game from the Browns in this one. But this feels like another old school AFC North battle. Kind of lean towards the under in this one. At -4, there's some value on the Browns for sure over that key number of 3. But I think the Ravens win this game at home. So I can't lean either side on the line right now. What do you got on this one, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, like to what you just said about a division game having the under, since 2005, 61% of division games after week 10 are hitting hitting the unders at 61%. So if you want to play kind of a proven theme, is take these division unders. They hit more often than not. But Baker just seems too banged up for me at this point. He's not a very capable quarterback, and you know, we've kind of talked about that all year. Big thing is for the Browns that Kareem Hunt could possibly be back, so they could have their 1-2 punch with Kareem and Chubb. But I think it's no secret. I think the Ravens are just too well of an organization to be able to scheme a little bit better. You know, Lamar not playing last week, he's the type of player that's going to really be amped, get up for this type of game, come back. Because if I'm not mistaken, the Ravens, they played Miami, right? And then lost, and then it was
Miami.
So, you know, from that aspect, we haven't, like, Lamar hasn't really played well or been able to play. So he's probably really chomping at the bit to get after this one. Overall, better quarterback, better team in the Ravens. It's going to be close. I don't like the fact that it's over that key number 3, especially a division game. Like, because if we're talking about it being a low scoring game, it could be a little tight. But Ravens at home are always dangerous, so I am right now leaning towards the Ravens.
I like that, Steve. Okay, last game, Monday Night Football, Seattle Seahawks at Washington. Seahawks looking bad last week. Now traveling all the way across the country after Thanksgiving to play in Washington. Washington's minus one. But this is interesting line movement, Steve. Opened at minus 3.5 for Seattle. Now it's at Washington minus one. And okay, so there's a ton of money going that direction. So that actually makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. But complete line reversal there. Totals at 46.5.
Yeah, I personally just think that, you know, Seattle's still a very talented team, and that, you know, that this is just a knee-jerk reaction with the Seahawks. I mean, it's Russell Wilson against Taylor Heinicke. At what point would you ever imagine that this would be the Seahawks getting the points here? So I don't want to overreact and say, oh yeah, Seahawks just suck. But I can't ever trust the Washington football team either. If I'm going to bet on someone and I'm going to bet on quarterback play, I'm going to bet on Russell Wilson, who's a proven NFL quarterback, to go beat the Washington football team. So for a Monday night game, I'm probably going to be all over Seahawks, especially if I'm getting points.
Yeah, I like that, Steve. I mean, this is a must win for Seattle. If they want to stay in contention whatsoever, they're 3-7. If they want to stay in contention at all, if they want to have a season, they have to win most of the rest of their games. And Washington is a beatable team. They're not going to go in there intimidated. Heinicke and Washington and Rivera got that win last week, which they probably feel really good about. So I love that they got that win. I love that Seattle lost. Russell Wilson, same exact thought, Steve. You know, it's one of those tough things because we have so much historical knowledge from watching the NFL for years. So we know how accountable Russell Wilson is and how the Seahawks usually are. Are they a different team this year? Is a team that we can count on less? I'm not sold on that concept just yet. I think there's still some fight left in this team. There's always some fight left in Russell Wilson. If you're, you know, now this line's moving, I get the line movement. I mean, I guess this is a lot of sharps who like Washington. I don't. I would have to lean towards Seattle on this one. Also kind of like the over in this one too. Two defenses that are just getting a little murked right now, man. I mean, they're just allowing a lot to happen. I mean, Washington played okay last week, but the Panthers don't have a passing game. So, you know, Seattle does. Russell Wilson he's a pretty good arm. So, again, I can see this one going over. 46.5 feels a little low for me.
I mean, if you want a trend that is proven, Russell Wilson is 15-3 against NFC East teams. So, yeah. He dominates the NFC East. So,
yeah, we've experienced that over the years.
Yeah.
Steve, there was a time where I thought that, like, there was chatter about Russell Wilson possibly coming to the Giants. And even the gossip about that, I was like, losing my shit. I was like, are you kidding me? That'd be awesome.
Yeah, he's a beast.
All right, Steve, you got any big Bulls plays of the week? Any big underdog bets you like?
One team that I'm actually really looking at, I think, that I like just in the home spot. They're not really that much of a dog, but I really like the Dolphins, I think, this week. I think they're going to be capable to shut Cam Newton down and kind of show why Cam Newton wasn't really getting picked up by anyone and why the Patriots moved on from him.
I like that, Steve. I'm going to go with the Steelers. AFC North matchup, I'm not sure how much better the Bengals are than the Steelers. You know, traveling to Cincinnati is not far. This is a old rivalry. Steelers need to win, too. They're 5-4. They have to stay in contention. Bengals are a good team, but I think the Steelers might best them. Man, teasers have been killing people, Steve, because these blowouts and these, you know, margins that are going on. I mean, talk about like Seattle last week. Seattle felt like a great team to tease. You could tease them up to like 10. Mm-hmm. And then Seattle gets blown out at home by the Cardinals. So, again, people, tread carefully with these teasers. Do not make like 8-leg teasers and expect them to win the NFL right now. You probably shouldn't make any more than 3, to be honest with you. But Steve, any teasers you really like?
Well, you know, just from a perspective to make it fun for Thursday, I do like just straight up teasing everyone who I liked on Thursday was the Lions, Dallas, and Buffalo.
Oh, I love that, Steve. Let's go with that. Turkey teaser.
Yeah. Turkey teaser. There you go.
Yeah. Buffalo, Dallas, win. And the Lions stay competitive. I like that. I like that a lot. Let's do that, man. And then they get some plus money for a three-leg team. You know, you can have a little fun in sports betting sometimes, people. Yeah. You know, it's not, you know, if you go after teasers every week of your life, that's all you do, you're probably going to lose long-term, but you can have a little fun. I like that, Steve. Let's go. I'm just going to side with you on that one.
Turkey teaser.
All right, guys. Well, Steve, we're 35-19-1 in Circa. We got plenty to still be excited about. I mean, I'm negative units at this point, man. NFL is absolutely kicking my ass. folks, follow me in the NBA. I'm doing really well in the NBA still. So let's ride that train while it's hot. Steve is still in plus units. Steve, I think you're still at 60%.
Around there, you know, I'm at 20, about 25 units up. So it's still a good football season. It's still a lot of football left. So yeah, there's going to be, you know, we knew this was going to happen though. We knew it wasn't going to be sustainable. Like, come on, I'm not going to hit it 70% for the whole NFL season.
Yeah. And those listening, we appreciate your listenership, your viewership. And remember, this is a long-term game. I mean, we celebrate the weeks where we win big too, but we know every time we celebrate our big wins, like when Steve was up 60 units, I think, or 40 units, we always know that regression is coming because you just can't maintain that. I mean, it's almost especially in the NFL. So we can expect, I think, some positive regression here with Steve and I. We're going to double down, brother. And here we go, March 1st. Still got 7 weeks left in this NFL season.
I love it.
Steve, happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Yeah. Hey,
man. All of our listeners, the odds breakers, laying the points with Farley Betts. We'll be back at it next Wednesday at the regularly scheduled time. Ooh, actually, you know what, Steve? Next Wednesday is Kate's birthday. So I may be, I may have to do another Tuesday with you. Okay. Maybe we could do Thursday. Try that out.
We'll see. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. All right, brother. Until next time, follow us on Twitter. See you guys.
Thank you, everyone.
Let's go.
Let's go.